During the season of Easter, there are just so many stories to tell, and they have so much detail and richness. We hardly know when to stop, as Joan found out this morning. We don't know when we're supposed to stop. There's too many stories to tell. We can't stop them in the middle, which we had to do, because at some point, you've got to stop. Every one of us has a story to tell, and every one of us in our lives has times when the stories are harder than others. And perhaps we've lost our confidence for some reason, or we're feeling down, or something has happened to us, or perhaps we're just alone and lonely. We all have those times. And I bet that every one of you has something that you do during that time that gives you comfort, something that makes you feel safe and secure. Perhaps it's someone that you will call up or spend time with to reassure you in those moments. Perhaps you want to have a hot bath with candlelight. Perhaps you wrap yourself in your favorite blanket and you warm yourself from the inside out. Or perhaps, like me, you have comfort food, not always the best thing. My mother made the best macaroni and cheese, and rarely when I'm in that space do I have the energy to make her recipe, so Kraft Dinner does the trick. We all have things that bring us comfort, and we all need them from time to time. And today, Peter and the guys are in their comfort zone. They've gone fishing. They have escaped to their safe place. It's been a crazy ride that has ended in confusion, anger, and sorrow. Their passion, hopes, and energy were totally invested in this person, Jesus, and what they thought would be a new world, and now nothing. So, like us with our craft dinner or our blanket, Peter and the guys go fishing. After everything they've been through, they're a close-knit group, but a fragile one. Their emotions are running high. Some of them are probably relieved that it's all over. Some may be feeling betrayed and angry. Others might still be clinging to a little bit of hope. And others may feel guilty that they didn't do more to make it work or to protect their friend. And so, to feel secure, to feel comforted, they are attracted by what they used to do before. Before this Jesus disrupted their life, they'd been professional fishermen. They knew what to do, and they knew each other. And so they were attracted by that familiarity of the old ropes and the creaky boat and the easy patterns they wouldn't have to think about. There they could be themselves. They could be safe. And yet, like them, like us, nothing stays the same. Their lives had been all over the map, and when they went fishing, it wasn't the same, because this time they caught absolutely nothing. A tough blow for people who used to have their livelihood dependent on what they caught. A tough blow for men who knew the waters and the reefs and who were good at what they did. Hard on their self-confidence, which was already at an all-time low. They were finally back, doing what they knew so well, and it doesn't work. Imagine the embarrassment and the muttering when a stranger meets them on the beach and suggests, or actually says to them directly, "You didn't catch any fish, did you?" Imagine. The answer is no. Or maybe it's no, or maybe it's no, we didn't. And then he has the audacity to suggest that they throw the net on the other side of the boat and they'll catch a whole bunch of fish. Yeah, right. What does he know? Remember, we tried that once and it just did not work. Why bother? We can't do anything right anyway. Who the hell does he think he is? Telling us to change what we know how to do. Perhaps because they're desperate, or perhaps because they want a small glimmer of hope. They follow his advice. And they are unprepared for the results. They are swamped with fish, so many fish that they can't even haul them in. In the Gospels, very rarely do you hear numbers, but this made such a big impact that we hear that there were 153 fish. What just happened? Their known way of being, their safe haven of knowledge, their usual expectations, in an instant, had been thrown out of the water. And this reminded them of someone. When the disciple whom Jesus loved looked ashore at this person who offered them advice, he looked with not just his eyes this time, he looked with his heart, and he recognized Jesus. Now, Peter, of course, was in the boat, and obviously it was a very safe place, so safe that he was naked. This is one of those odd things, very odd. It says that he was naked in the boat. Now, that's not odd if you're in a hot summer day and you're in a boat. Why not? However, he wasn't afraid to bare himself to his friends. They'd been through it all together. They knew what he had done well, and they knew what he had done badly. They knew he had betrayed Jesus 3 times. But he wasn't afraid of his friends because he had trusted them. Where there was no embarrassment, no fear, no barrier between them, he could just be himself. But once he sees and recognizes Jesus and is told that that's definitely who it is, he gets dressed and then jumps in the water. Because Jesus has seen Peter's soul, and Peter does not want to show it to him now. Nor do we, when someone calls us out on something. Nor do we when we recognize in ourselves that maybe we didn't do exactly what we had intended. The interesting thing about fishermen, and for those of you who come from the coast, know this, fishermen usually don't swim. Fishermen are usually terrified of the water, actually, so their boats become the most comfortable place they can be, the safest place. They do not jump out of them. They only jump out of a boat in absolute desperation, or perhaps in Peter's case, he could see the shore and it was in absolute joy. We are like them. We are comfortable in how we live our lives and the things that we do, whether individually or as a community. And these days, we as the church are kind of uncomfortable in how we relate to the world because it's all changed. Our lives have been interrupted as well. We don't know how to swim as an institution in the current waters. But interestingly, some of us, like John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, recognize Jesus in the midst of our confusion. Some of us can see that presence, that spirit, and give us the courage and the boldness maybe to jump out of the boat or at least go and talk to Jesus. Yesterday and the night before, we held our parish council retreat, which we do annually after vestry. There were a few interruptions this year, like Easter and parties, so we had to wait till this past week and to do it. And it was astonishing, as it always is to me, to engage with the people gathered around the room and to see the leadership that abounds in that group. You're going to hear a little bit about it, because at the announcements, a couple of the members of parish council are going to tell you a bit about what we did, so I won't steal their thunder. But to me, it's always a grace-filled moment when you recognize the leadership in people, even the people who say they aren't leaders. They clearly are, because they're willing to be there. They're willing to put themselves forward. And so we are lucky, we are blessed, we are graced with people who can lead us. And in this place, and in our greater world, and in our lives, we know we have to change some things. Not the essential fabric of who we are, because that is impossible. To honor that, to take all the good things we have done in our lives and move them forward. But we do know that we have to change sometimes how we relate, how we communicate, and how we can be relevant in the new waters in which we're swimming. Like the disciples, it's hard to get out of the boat. It's hard to take those risks. It's hard to trust, because we're comfy with each other. But we're not so comfy when we realize we're not catching as many fish. We're not so comfy that all of us want to stay in the boat all at the same time. And we have lots of options about whether to leap, whether to swim, whether to stay there, or to be pushed out of the boat. But the good news about it is, like Peter, we're not alone. We have the assurance that Jesus is on the shore calling to us, "Come, have breakfast with me. I'm here with you. Yeah, you're scared. Yeah, you don't know what you're doing. That's okay. Maybe you're not supposed to." We need to be able to be comfortable with one another, and we need to be able to recognize Jesus not with our hearts, not just with our eyes, but with our hearts. And every once in a while, we're going to want to return to the old ropes and the creaky boat, and we're going to want to eat Kraft dinner, because that reassures us. But if we keep our hearts open, everything can be filled with the Jesus, the Christ, who calls us to have a meal with him. This week, John pointed out to me that there's only two times in the gospel that the charcoal fire is referred to. Once is today's reading, when they have breakfast around a charcoal fire, and Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" The last time, and the only time we hear about a charcoal fire, is when Peter stood before the charcoal fire outside as Jesus was taken before Pilate, and he denied Christ three times. Mirror images, and in between, a lot of turmoil. A lot happened. A lot changed and affected Peter. And that's us. We are somewhere in there, each one of us, in that continuum between charcoal fires. And we can look back and say we used to be like that, and we can look ahead and say we have no idea what we're going to look like. But no matter what or where we are, there is one constant thing, and that is Jesus saying, "Come. Have breakfast with me. Trust me. Try throwing the net on the other side of the boat. You never know what might happen." Because the kingdom of God is simple things, like having breakfast on the beach, staying in our boats, going for an unexpected swim, eating plain old bread and wine. And in all of it, may we keep our eyes open, but keep our hearts open, so that we can catch 153 fish, or maybe even more. Amen.